he was a pig farmer. And one time when I was driving down to visit with her, I stopped at her uncle's house and visited with him for a couple days. And you know, those of you that know me know that I'm a city boy. I mean, I grew up in the city, in the suburbs, and had no background at all what it was like to live on a farm. And so I noticed that on their back porch, they had this big, what looked like a 20-gallon bucket. I'm sure it wasn't that big, but it was a big bucket. And I noticed when my wife's aunt would fix meals, she would go out on the porch, and this was in the springtime of year, and like if she was peeling carrots, she'd peel carrots and put all the peelings in this bucket. If she was cutting up cucumbers, she'd cut the end of the cucumbers off, and they go in this bucket. She peeled potatoes, she'd peel the potatoes, and they go into this bucket. When dinner was over and she was cleaning the plate, she'd take the plates outside and just scrape all the leftovers that were on the plate into this bucket. She had some stuff that she cleaned out of the refrigerator one day that I was there. She took all the bowls and emptied them in this bucket. And then when she got done doing the dishes, she had a little dishpan that she was doing the dishes in. She went outside and poured dishwater in this bucket. Of course, I'm a city boy. I'm watching, you know, I mean, what is this? I mean, what are they going to do with this bucket? And then the second morning I was there, her uncle's name was Curtis. And her uncle Curtis said, he said, "Daryl, yeah, you want to go with me this morning?" I said, "Well, where are you going?" He said, "Well, I'm going to feed the hogs." You know, and I like bacon, and I like, you know, ham and all that stuff. And I said, "Well, yeah." So he said, "Well, have you got any old shoes?" I said, "Well, I got my tennis shoes." He said, "Well, put your tennis shoes on then." And he had a pair of shoes that sat on the back porch, and apparently the only time he wore them was when he was going to do what we were about to do. And so I put my tennis shoes on, and he put his shoes on, and then he picked up this bucket. I said, "Uncle Curtis, what is that bucket?" He said, "You know what this bucket is?" I said, "No, I've noticed that Aunt Josephine has put every peeling and every leftover and every bit of garbage that you've had into that bucket." He says, "Young man, this is what's known as a slop bucket. And we are going to go slop the hogs." I said, "Okay." And so we went out to his barn. It must have been 100 pigs if there was one. And he had this bucket, and of course I'd never been on a pig farm before. I'd never been out with pigs before. You know, I guess I just never imagined how dirty and stinky a pig farm is. And so he had a trough, and he took this bucket and poured it into the trough, and then he went into the barn and got some other stuff out, and all these pigs come running. And they put their snouts down in this trough, and you just never heard the commotion that was made. the sucking and the, it sounded like they were all drinking through a straw, but they weren't. And I said, and you know, I saw that snout, and I saw they had their snout down there, and I said, "Are they eating through their nose?" He said, no, they're just getting their mouth down there close enough so that they can get the food. And, after I left there, it took me 2 months before I could eat bacon or ham again. But I learned what a slop bucket was. And I learned that you don't put anything into a slop bucket that you want to keep. I learned that you don't put anything of value into the slop bucket. The story that we read from Luke chapter 15 is a very familiar story. A story about a father and two sons. The younger son comes to his father and says, "Father, I want my share of the inheritance." Father gives it to him. He takes it. He goes into a foreign country or far country, the Bible says, and he wastes it in riotous living. Now, before I go any further, I want to point something out to you tonight. The bottom line sin, the root sin of this young man was wanting his own way. Now, he's going to go and he's going to get into some stuff that he shouldn't get into. But what started it all, what was the root sin, was saying, I don't want it my father's way, I want it my way. I don't want to do what my dad wants me to do, I want to do what I want to do. And so he took his part of the inheritance, he went into this far country, he wasted it in riotous living, he ends up penniless, he ends up friendless, and the Bible says he joins himself to a citizen of that country feeding the pigs, feeding the hogs. And the Bible says he was so hungry that he longingly looked at the husk that he fed the pigs and thought about eating them himself. And then the Bible says that he came to himself. He came to himself and he got to thinking, you know, here I am starving to death. I'm ready to eat what I'm feeding these pigs. And the servants in my father's house are eating better than I'm eating. I will arise, I'll go back home, and I'll tell my dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son, but I just want to be a servant. And I want you to see the transformation that happened in that young man's life. He went from the point of saying, I don't want to do it dad's way, I want to do it my way, to the point where he said, I'm not even worthy to be a son. Deb, I just want to be a servant. I'll do it your way. I'll do what you want me to do. Tonight I want to preach on the subject, God doesn't put his blessings in a slot bucket. The blessings of God are not in the hog pen. You see, we know the rest of the story. The boy comes home. He's ready to give this speech to his daddy and said, Daddy, I can't be a son anymore. I don't deserve that. Just make me a servant. Just put me to work as one of the servants. And the Bible says that his father, looking for him, saw him a long way off. He ran to meet him. He fell on his neck. He hugged him and he kissed him. And the son got the first part of the speech out and said, Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he didn't get the rest of it out because his dad called the servants and said, hey, bring a pair of shoes and put on his feet. Bring a robe and put on a back. Put the ring of sonship on his finger. Go ahead and kill the fatted calf because we're going to party tonight. This my son that was dead is alive. He's lost and he's found. Every Christian wants the blessings of God. We want the ring. We want the robe. We want the shoes. We want somebody to kill the fatted calf and I'll honor and rejoice. We want all that, but we are not willing to get out of the hog pen. And I'll remind you tonight that God don't put his blessings in a slot bucket. It wasn't until the son came to himself and got out of the hog pen that he got the blessings of God. Now, listen, I got to say something before I go on. I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd tonight. I know that. I know you're here because you love God. I know you're here because you want to please God. There's probably nobody here that we could use the same phrase about you that the Bible used about that boy. Living their life in riotous living. Most, if not all of you here tonight, are trying to live your life to please God. You're trying to honor him. But I want to preach to this crowd tonight because the root sin of this young man, the root sin of this young man was saying, Dad, I don't want to do it your way. I want to do it my way. I don't want to follow your instructions. I want to figure out what to do on my own. And so I speak to the Sunday night crowd tonight with this in mind. Is every area of your life surrendered to God? In every area of your life, can you say, God, I don't want to do it your way. In this area of my life, I want to make the decisions. I want to do it my way. I know you're God. I know you're omnipotent. I know you know everything. But in this area of my life, you can't have it. Because I want to be the king. I want to be the boss. And again, now listen, I know I'm speaking to the Sunday night crowd. I know that for the most part, you want to do exactly what God wants you to do. But here's my challenge tonight. I want you to examine your life. I want you to look at every part of it. I want you to be able to say, all of it is under God's control. All of it is under God's control. Because if it's not, if it's just one part where you're still the boss, if there's just one piece where you're still the king, if there's just one portion that you have not surrendered to God, then that part of your life, you are living in the hog pen, and you are going to miss some of the blessings of God. You are going to miss some of the things that He has for you. Let me give you some examples. For example, God doesn't put the blessing of answered prayer in a slot bucket. The Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 8, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, if there is a sin that I won't let go of, that's what that phrase means, regard iniquity in my heart. If I've been convicted of that sin by the Holy Spirit, if I know I should give this part of my life over to God, and I say, no, I'm not going to do it, I'm hanging on to this myself, you are regarding iniquity in your life, and the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I'll remind you tonight that it's God's nature to hear and answer prayer. Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer. God heard the prayer of Abraham and delivered Lot as he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He heard the prayer of Elijah and sent fire down from heaven to burn up the sacrifice. He heard the prayer of Daniel and shut the lion's mouth. He heard the prayer of Cornelius and sent Peter in answer to that prayer. He heard the prayer of the dying thief on the cross and he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And there are many in this room tonight that can stand and testify and say, I have a God that answers prayer. I have a God that listens to when I pray and works. And God wants us to ask for things. It says in the book of Matthew, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it. And he that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. But God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, says, I won't hear you. I won't hear your prayers. You cannot stay in the hog pen and expect God to answer your prayer. Say, preacher, just a minute. I'm a good person. I try to live most of my life pleasing to God. Well, glory to God. I'm so glad. I'm going after that peace you haven't given him yet. I'm going after that part where you're still the boss. I'm going after that part where you think you know more than God does. That's the part I want you to give him tonight. That's the part where I want you to get off the throne. That's the part where I want you to get behind, from behind the steering wheel and let God get behind the steering wheel and say, okay, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. That's what that young man did. Is there an area of your life where you're like the prodigal son? Hey, Dad, no. Not your way, my way. You need to come back just like he did. You need to come to yourself. You need to realize there's blessings that God wants to give you that he can't give you because in that area of your life, you're still in the hog pen and he don't put his blessings in the slot bucket. Another example. God does not put the blessings of understanding the Bible in the slot bucket. Listen, everything that God wants us to know is in this book. There's no new revelation. Everything that he wants us to know is in this book. And he doesn't allow us to understand it all at the same time. It's not like we get saved and he opens up our head and pours it all in and we understand everything that's in here. It's just like he gave the Israelites the promised land. He says, I'm not going to give it to you all at once. I'll give it to you a little bit at a time. And that's what he does in our understanding of this book. And I want to remind you tonight that the Lord's happy when he can share his secrets with us. In Psalm 25, verse 14, the Bible says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. In Proverbs 3:32, but his secret is with the righteous. Amos 3:7, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants. He told Abraham he was going to destroy Sodom. He told Samuel who was going to be the next king. He told the prophets hundreds of years before it happened all sorts of things about Jesus. He told his disciples about the kingdom of heaven. The Bible is just full of things that God wants us to understand. But the Bible says his secret is with the righteous. And if there's still an area of your life where you haven't given over to him, if there's still an area of your life where you're still calling the shots, you need to give that part to God and say, look, I tried it my way. I tried it being the boss. I don't want to be the boss anymore. Just make me a servant. I want to do it your way. And then finally, God doesn't put the blessing of the will for our life in the slot bucket. I mentioned it this morning. Let me say it again tonight. Do you know that God has a plan for every one of our lives? Every one of us. I don't know who the youngest person is here tonight. I mean, I know there's some little ones back in the nursery. But I don't know if it's Ty that's in here or Larissa. I don't know which one it is. But from the youngest to the oldest. And I won't try to guess who the oldest is. I don't want to, you know, embarrass anybody. Mary, it might be you, though. How old? 90? 90? 90? So anybody older than 90? Okay, so from Ty, how old are you, Ty?
Six.
From 6 to 90. And everybody in between, God has a plan for our life. He's got something he wants us to do, something he wants us to accomplish for him. But if we hang on to that area of our life that we haven't given for him to control, he says, I'm not going to show you that will. Why should I show you that will when you're not willing to surrender all? Why should I show you that will when you're not willing to give me all? You know, here's the funny thing. We enjoy the blessings of the world. We have a car that runs. We have a house. We have food. We have clothes. And we say, man, God is really blessing me. And some of us don't realize that even though we have all that stuff, we're still living in the middle of the hog pen. Because we haven't given every part of ourselves over to him. There's still a part where we say, I want to be the boss. I'm going to drive this part of my life. Yeah, God can have the other 90% of it, but I'm keeping this 10%. It's mine. He can't tell me what to do. He won't tell me what to do. I will make my own decisions in this part of my life. And maybe you're here tonight and there's only 1% of your life that's right, that's like that. I stand on God's behalf tonight and say, he wants all of it. All of it. All of it. You know, anybody with any sense wouldn't want to live in a hog pen. I'd throw my tennis shoes out. They stunk, Brother Darrell. They stunk. You know, sung that song about Lazarus. Martha said, he's been in the grave 4 days. Don't open that up. He stinks. Been dead 4 days. Most of us, in some area of our life, are living in a hog pen, and we don't even know it. Because let me ask you, 100 years from now, what's it going to matter what kind of car you drove? Or what kind of house you lived in? Or how much money you got in the bank? I'm not saying those things are not important. I'm glad God blesses us with them, and I think we ought to enjoy them. But what I'm saying is, don't look at those things and say, well, I got this, so I know God's blessing me. Is he answering your prayers? Is he revealing more of the Bible to you? Do you know what his will is for your life, and are you living in that will? 100 years from now, that's what's going to matter. 100 years from now, that's what's going to be important. And again, I'm not against all this other stuff. Please don't go out of this place thinking I'm against it. I'm just saying, let's get our priorities right. Let's decide what's important is what God says is important. What doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're risking eternity for a few short days of pleasure. You need to get saved tonight. The Bible says you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You come and ask Jesus to save you tonight, he'll save you. He'll save you. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. You can't get there any other way. You got to come through him. So if you're saved tonight, you come. We'll take the Bible in just a second, and we'll show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian here tonight, and again, I know you're the Sunday night crowd. Does God got all of you? Does he? He don't put his blessings in the flop bucket. I don't know about you. I want to get everything that God has for me. I want to get everything. I want to give them all. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. I pray you'll help us look at ourselves. I know the folks that are here tonight are good people. I know that. They wouldn't be here if they weren't. But Father, help us to not get complacent. Help us to examine our lives and ask the question, does my God have all of me? Or is there an area in my life that I'm a prodigal? I've told the Father, nope, not what you want, what I want. Help us to come to ourselves tonight. Help us to give our God all. All. I pray, Father, your will be done in this invitation. First, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.